following shite is talked by professionals under literally zero supervision whatsoever. Scream Queens and their producers deny any affiliation with or practice of witchcraft, black magic, and the occult. Some of the themes discussed in this podcast may be triggering for some listeners, and as such, listener discretion is advised. Scream Queens podcast cannot be held accountable for any pants that might be pulled.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall asleep.
What am I supposed to be scared of?
What's up, you guys? Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed.
What's going on? How is everyone? What's everyone been up to? It is Wednesday, my dudes. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's Friday when you're listening to
this. Ha-ha! It's a magic trick.
Time machine.
Yeah.
Before we jump into this, I can't choose between two beers, Connor, and I need you to help me.
You are asking the worst person that you could possibly be asking about beer. But, like what? Is it like, because if you're like Carlsberg and Budweiser, I'll be like, just throw yourself out the window. go sober.
No. I am a craft beer wanker.
Pabst Blue Ribbon on Ice.
That's actually trash beer. It's gross.
I literally only know it from Lana Del Rey songs.
Pabst Blue Ribbon on Ice.
But I got some Tiny Rebel Beers, which is a brewery here in Wales.
Shameless plug.
I know.
Send us some beer.
But there's two porters here, right? And I can't decide which one I want. So I can have a mint chocolate marshmallow porter or an Irish coffee marshmallow porter.
Okay. First of all, what's a porter? Is that different to a port?
It's like a Guinness-y kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like a stout.
Yeah.
Okay. And what, the flavor was mint chocolate chip marshmallow?
Yes. So apparently the eye is dark, the nose is mint chocolate, and the taste is mint chocolate.
Okay, well, I... Just jump out the window, Danny. Just do it.
I'm gonna go with the mint chocolate because you're not very helpful.
See, I think you are disgusting because I actually have this big thing against mint and chocolate together.
Why?
I don't believe they belong together. Like, I refuse to. Like, anyone who's like favorite ice cream,
Pabst Blue Ribbon on Ice.
Anyone who's like favorite ice cream is like mint chocolate chip. Actually, is a psychopath.
It's my favorite. I love it.
Oh my god! Well, no wonder you're fucking loving your marshmallow version in a beer. Oh,
this smells so minty. Let me try it. Hang on, I'm gonna do a live taste test.
You say that as if this whole podcast hasn't been a live taste test for you, like the whole every episode.
It's actually weird because you get that like
it's porter horrible. Who knew?
No. You get that porter kick, and then there's like a mint chocolate aftertaste. It's quite nice. No. Like 9% though, so I'll be on my ear by the end of this. But anyway.
I absolutely love that. Like one time I went on a date with a guy, and it was like a day date, but we went to this bar in Ranla. And it's not called the Mucky Duck. The Hill? I don't know. I don't know. And they had this beer there, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was something like, it was some like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reference was the name of it, but it was 9%. And, you know, we met at about 3 o'clock and we said we'd have like a pint or two, and we were shit-faced. And then we were walking through Ranla, and there's like a gospel church there, like a church of the like Seventh-day Adventist. And we gate-crashed, okay, this overtly gay couple who were locked in the middle of a Saturday gate-crashed basically this gospel performance. And it was like just us, two white gay people and a bunch of black people singing and dancing. And to be honest, it was amazing. But then
it sounds amazing.
Oh my God, it was so good. Like, what a first date. And like, I went to the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, it had ended. And when I came back out, he was just standing like in the foyer, like afraid, like not sure what to do, and like basically a load of people were like standing around him just being like, and where do you live, and we've never seen you around here before, and he's like shit faced and he's like afraid to say anything, and I was just like, oh, it's such a nice welcome to the neighborhood, we have to go. Let's go, my darling. I mean friend, only friends.
I just had a Google, was it the Fresh Prince of Kildare?
No, because I would be really angry if that's what it was. No, was it just called Fresh Prince, maybe? It might have just been Fresh Prince.
Trouble Brewing as the Fresh Prince of Kildare.
Oh, well, do you know what? Maybe that is its full title, and it was just known in the bar as Fresh Prince, maybe.
Maybe.
Has it got a really high alcohol percentage, like mental high?
Let me check. Oh my god, the website I'm looking on is called The Sipster. Okay. Yeah, 9%.
That was it. Like, I had like
9.1.
Three of those on a Saturday afternoon, and we were fucking lit. Blaine took me for like a fab dinner in Ranelagh, but I ruined the date because I started crying.
What?
Because I was so drunk. And it was such a nice date. And he was telling me how he'd never been on a date with a guy before and he always wanted to do it. And basically because of how his family were, he'd like never be able to come out or like be with a boy. And his story made me so sad. I started crying in the middle of the restaurant, but I was really drunk. And I like started bawling, crying. And then I was like, excuse me. And I had to like go to the bathroom and like have a cry. When I came back, he was loaded. And he ordered this like big bottle of champagne and like made them do this whole thing.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, but it was also incredibly sad because, as I said, the crying. And like the thing,
and you fucked it up. He sounds great. What did you do to him?
Well, look, he basically told me he was never going to marry me, so I was just like, you know, I'm 27 now, I've no time for these games.
I'll end up a spinster.
Yeah, little did I know I'm still heading that way.
You'd have been burnt at the stake for being a witch back in the 1600s.
I mean, I probably was in a past life.
Oh, speaking of, I have to tell you this story because I know you'll appreciate it because you hate toner just as much as I do.
Toner?
Like hair toner.
Oh,
You've had your trials and tribulations with
it. No, but I love it. I mean, that saved my fucking life. I take meant toner, which is the brand of my microphone, which I do fucking hate. And I am buying a new microphone. Like, it sounds fine when we're recording. And I listen back and I'm like, why am I screeching?
Why are you like Darth Vader?
Speaking of Screech, Screech died. Screech, Justin Diamond is dead.
Genuinely thought that he died years ago. I genuinely thought he was long dead.
No, just his career.
I know that. Didn't he do like a sex tape?
Well, apparently it then came to light that he made the sex tape, but he used a body double. Like, he actually wasn't in it at all. He was just like trying to make money. What? Like, as if anyone wanted to see that sex tape anyway.
To buy it, yeah. pay thousands to see Screech naked.
It was clearly such a thing that, like, Paris Hilton had a sex tape and, like, made loads of money on it. Well, she didn't make
money. Does he think he's on that level? No, but God rest his soul.
That's, like, actually what the funniest thing was. It was, like, if you think that the same desire is there for your Screech's sex tape than fucking Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, like, what is wrong with you? I have to say though, he aged extraordinarily well, and I may have thought about him.
Connor.
I know. And that was after he died.
Oh my god.
I know. Like,
anyway, let's get back to my wholesome story. I don't want to talk about jerking off over Screech.
Sorry. It's just I just feel like when I get to heaven and St. Peter is listing off the reasons I'm not getting in, that one is going to be really embarrassing for me.
Oh, God.
I know.
I don't think I've ever jerked it over a dead person.
Well, how long dead we talking?
This is the thing. Like, I don't even... Like, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Marlon Brando.
He was very attractive, but I don't find... You know what I mean? I can appreciate that he's attractive, but I don't find him attractive. But I get it for you.
But, like, the thing is... No, well, first of all, he's gorgeous. But, like, the thing is, it's not weird to tug one out over them when, like, once you're not imagining them as being dead at the time, then, you know, that's bad. Yeah. But yeah, no, that happened the other day. And when I told my friend, he was like, do you know, no one would appreciate that more than him. I was like, that's such a good point. Like, he actually would have loved that. So
yeah, probably.
R.I.P.
But anyway, so my hair, okay.
Been of course, it always ends up here, doesn't it?
My dreams all involve combing my hair.
Yeah.
So she's been through the ringer, bless her, since I had to take my tapes out, and I can't have short hair, and I can't even look at myself with short hair.
It's not short, though, Danny. Like, you make yourself sound like you have 3 inches of hair and the rest was all your clip-in hair. Like, you have...
It's 12
like,
inches.
It's down to your shoulder. Like it's not...
It's not. It's like collarbone. It's not past my shoulders.
Can you please send me a photo of it?
Yeah, when I take these out. But, so... I bought clip-ins, right? So I was like...
On Amazon Prime for free delivery.
No, this is the thing. And I wish I fucking had after what happened, right? So I paid over £100 for them on Milk and Blush, the website's called. Because I'm fucking just... I can't cheapskate when it comes to hair. I don't know why. So I got them, right? And I got their lightest blonde shade because I'm pretty fucking blonde. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just tone them. They'll be fine. So I messaged the girl who does my extensions just for advice. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, purple shampoo them. What's the best way? Like, what do you recommend? Mm-hmm. And she was just like, oh, like just fill a big, big bowl. Like, and then just put a little bit of purple shampoo in it. Swirl them around because you've got like more control over the color if it's diluted. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And whatever fucking coating was on the extensions, the like 100+ pound extensions, they looked like Barney the dinosaur came all over them. There was just purple splotches everywhere. And I was like, it's okay, I can fix this. I can fix it. So I washed
it's
them
still
like.
Good. It's still good.
It's still good. I washed them like 5 times with clarifying shampoo. And then the fucking black purple just faded up to a blue. And yeah, I was like,
and it'll totally strip like any kind of health out of them as well.
Yeah. And they were so fucking like straw. And I was like, sat on the bed just looking at them in my hands. And I was like, well, I've lost this battle. So I had to go onto a different website and buy ones that were already silver that were more expensive. So I bought those and then they arrived and my hair was too yellow. So I spent like 20 minutes sitting in purple shampoo and now my hair is perfect and they match exactly. And I'm very happy. So that was my pointless story. Because,
so, yeah, you know, what exactly would you like Joe Duffy to do for you?
I was just telling you about my weekend.
I need a refund, Joe. It was disgraceful.
No, but they put that in the thing as well. Like, we're not responsible if your hair turns out crap. Like, basically.
No, but like valid though. Like.
No, I know. Fully. And I was just like, oh, I have no consumer rights here at all. This was my fault. And then I was like... I need to buy new extensions.
Oh my
Matt
god.
Matt was like, no.
While we're on consumer rights, wait till I tell you how angry I am. So I lost my mind the other day and I decided that all of my problems in life were down to the fact that I didn't own a wireless iron. So I bought like...
Are they a thing?
Yeah. And if everyone had one, the world would be a better place. I mean, that's where all my problems stem from. The fact that I don't have one, apparently. So I bought one and it was like on sale and I got it for like half the price. And I was like, oh my god, it's going to be the most wonderful thing. I'm going to iron all my clothes and everyone's going to say how beautiful I am. And I'm a real grown-up now, domestic goddess. And then I got an email of them being like, we're very sorry, but we're actually sold out of them.
I don't know how do you sell out of... I know,
and it's rose gold, like everything else I bought last week, because it's the phase I'm in at the moment.
I went through a big rose gold phase.
Like, I don't even particularly like rose gold. It's just because that table that I made has rose gold legs, and then, like, suddenly it all spiraled out of control, and now I'm looking up, like, rose gold toaster! I want a rose gold kettle! And, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't even like it that much.
What you should do is like fake that you're getting married and like register for all those things and then just be like, oh, the wedding fell apart, we're not getting married now.
Is that what you did? There is no Matt.
No, that's what I do. I'm like, send me names.
No, but I have thought many times about taking a leaf out of, you know, the old Carrie Bradshaw rule book and being like, I'm getting married to myself. I'm ready for that Manola Blahnik. That aged well. Yeah, I've thought about doing that many times, like almost every day that episode comes into my head, but I just haven't yet. Maybe we should get married.
I think we should, you know.
I mean,
and then, like, we can just be like, well, you know, genitals don't matter, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah, that's generally a good way of looking at love. I love when people are like, no, the issue isn't that, like, you're straight and he's gay. It's the fact that it's the two of you and you're getting married for your podcast.
I love that. If we know any ordained ministers that listen to the podcast, ideally, can you please give me a shout?
No, I would ideally like one from the Church of Satan.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, we can do that. I can contact them.
Oh, my God. We have to get Matt to give you away. Like, symbolically, it's very apt.
No, I want my cat to give me it. Also, I just found out, because I was like googling it the other day, I don't know why, I was really bored, but I was trying to figure out Kubrick's birthday, and he's a Gemini, and I'm really scared of him.
I know mine's birthday because he was born in captivity, and he's 28th of April, so he's a Taurus like me. He's a Gemini.
Kubrick is the 29th of May.
What has that got to do with anything?
I'm just saying, you're 28th of April, 29th of May. It's not close.
No, like, absolutely not.
I know.
I do know someone whose birthday is the 29th of May, but I can't remember who it is. Oh, yeah, it was that old woman who I used to work with.
Kelly Regan?
I didn't call her that. Oh, my God, no, we don't say her name on the podcast. Oh, my God, no. Imagine if Chloe Regan, like, full disclosure to our listeners, me and Danny.
She's our listener in Russia.
Oh my God. That wouldn't shock me if she had become some kind of spy in Russia and we just like outed her and ruined her life. Danny and I met through a girl named Chloe Orr, and neither of us speak to her anymore, and now we have a podcast together, and like I don't think she knows.
To be fair though, I was thinking about this the other day. I've got one nice story about Chloe Regan. She actually got me my job in Urban Decay.
Oh, so wow.
If any of you have had like interviews for like makeup counters, they make you like traffic stop. So you got to go out and like pull someone back to the counter and like do their makeup and blah, blah, blah. So Chloe was already going to go and buy shit.
I thought you were going to say that this is how you met her and that you were like, you need a makeover, come with me. And they were like, oh my God, what an improvement here. I was like, oh my God, I never heard this story.
No, it was worse than that. It was really shady. So like we timed it so that she came in as I was doing my interview and I was like, hello, person I've never met before in my life. And she like came back to the counter with me and I did her makeup and she bought like £300 worth of stuff and then like left. And it was like, they're like, yeah, you have the job. Oh like God. Straight away. And I was like, yeah, thanks.
No, I have to say, I have loads of really nice, happy, fun memories with Chloe. She had her moments of being really, really lovely and then she had her moments of being absolutely mental.
Yeah, she was just insane. She's just crazy.
Yeah, but like, we are also insane. So like, you know,
it's
all swings and roundabouts really. I don't know if you're using that term correctly. I use it all the time and I don't really know.
I think you are.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, so we should jump into this week's episode. And I'm gonna TW you guys. It does deal with dead kids and rape. So just so you know, just so you're aware. Mm-hmm. And you're about to hear me get so angry over it because it is something that's actually plagued me for years is the death of JonBenet Ramsey, mm-hmm. the Pink Dahlia.
Apparently. Because as you guys may or may not remember, last week Danny swore on her father's life, you clever girl, swore that we would be doing the Black Dahlia this week. And so you might be saying, but Connor and Danny, this isn't the Black Dahlia. It's a little known fact that JonBenet's nickname was the Pink Dahlia. And this is a nickname that her mother used to refer to her as rampantly backstage at the beauty pageants. With a sinister grin, twiddling her mustaches. Oh, my God. Little Pink Dahlia, yes. So here is that story instead.
It's still got something to do with Dahlia's. It doesn't at all. But
Neither did, really.
No. I mean, no. They called Elizabeth Short the Black Dahlia because she always wore a Black Dahlia in her hair.
A blue Dahlia, no?
Black.
No, but wasn't it a thing that her name was the Blue Dahlia and then it was only after she died she started being called the Black Dahlia?
Well, I haven't done the research for the episode, so maybe.
No, pretty sure that's definitely what it was.
Right, so
anyway,
let's get into this.
Jean-Benet Ramsey used to wear like pink bonnets and stuff, so you know.
Yeah,
same thing.
She was like a real pretty little girl, like Barbie doll.
I just wanted my trigger warning. The real trigger warning for this episode is it contains child beauty.
It's girls that are prettier than you.
Oh, please, she was not. No, it's child beauty pageants absolutely unnerve the shit out of me. Like, I can't cope with them. Like, I hate them.
The makeup that they put on them, like, they're like little showgirls. Yeah, like,
fake tan, you know what I mean? Big hair, and the pink bonnets, and the fake teeth, and everything about it is just disgusting.
Ugh. So on that note, JonBenet Patricia Ramsey, she was an American child beauty queen who was killed at the age of 6 in her family home in Boulder, Colorado.
Did something else strange happen in Boulder, Colorado? I feel like we've talked about Boulder before.
Have we?
I mean,
we probably have.
We'll have to go back and do a listen. That's not where last week where that bear attacked those men, is it?
No, that was the Northern Territories in Canada.
We definitely discussed Boulder before. I just don't know where. Anyway, continue.
So a lengthy handwritten ransom note was found in the home. Her dad, John, found the girl's body in the basement of their house.
Can I stop you there and just say, I love that John, like, really found his way of, like, shoehorning his name into JonBenet's name. Like, because JonBenet isn't a name. I refuse to believe it is. And, like, he's just like, oh, little Benet Ramsey. And he's like, JonBenet. Like, he's like, should be named Benet.
Why do you think I'm Danny? Because my dad was Danny and he didn't have a kid named after him. So he was like, I'll take the girl. It's fine.
But that's ridiculous because you're like the youngest. Like he had like three opportunities to like.
He had four.
I have a friend and she is the eldest of 6 or possibly 7 girls. Okay, it's all girls. There's loads of them. And her dad's name is James and he always wanted a son named James. And when their youngest sister, when her mom was pregnant with her, they were hoping it would be a boy so that he could have the son named James. And so then when it was a girl, they were like, oh, well, why don't you call her Jamie? And her dad just went, that isn't the same. Like, what do you want? Like, weird narcissist.
I like James on a girl, though. I've heard of girls called James.
That's obviously their surname. No girl is James.
It's an American thing, I feel like, because they're all cracked over there anyway. So, like, sorry, most of our listeners are American now.
Which is mad. Yeah. We broke America.
I know. I want to know who keeps listening to us in Asbury Park. Because I've been to Asbury Park and y'all are fucked up over there.
Where is that? Is that in Connecticut?
It's in New Jersey.
Oh, fuck. Let's never do an episode based there. Yeah.
Probably actually loads of murders happened in New Jersey.
America in general. I mean, I'm shocked that this is Colorado, not Canada, Connor. Silly Connor.
Anyway, so yeah, it wasn't Colorado. So her dad actually found the body in the basement of the house about 7 hours after she'd been reported missing. She'd sustained a broken skull from a blow to the head and had been strangled. And a garrote was found tied around her neck. Now, I don't know what that is. I had to Google it. So it's like
a noose?
It's like a thread, like a, you know, like really like sharp thread.
Oh,
a noose, like, but it was like
take out of a wristwatch, like a spy would use in a wristwatch.
Yes.
Like,
Or
like to cut a piece of cheese with. Okay.
Yeah. One of those things. It was like it was from a paintbrush. I don't really know how that works. But I guess what
was the
paintbrush
made out of? Adamantium. Insane.
Like, well, she was 6, so I guess she had like a small little neck, and it was.
God, don't say that.
I don't know, but so yeah, that was found tied around her neck. Autopsy report. I can't talk. This
would you like me to read today?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
So the autopsy report stated that JonBenet's official cause of death was asphyxia by strangulation, associated with
cranio cerebral
trauma. She done hit her head. Mm-hmm. So
girl dead. I can't believe we're doing this episode this early on in our career.
I know. So her death was ruled as a homicide.
She strangled herself with the cheese wire. She was cutting some cheese and she accidentally got stuck in it. And then her bonnet pulled.
God. And she fell on the butter churner.
Drowned in the butter. Help my mother!
Oh, God. Oh, let's not do impressions of a dead kid.
No. But look, no, no weirder. That possessed girl who was also all, mother, she's also dead. So, like, you know, everyone's going to die eventually.
That's true. Mm. So yeah, this case, it generated nationwide public and media interest, partly because her mom, Patsy Ramsey, I love that name.
Patsy Ramsey! Real Church of the Stars, Patsy Ramsey! Let me show you all around. You like this? You like this? Oh, you like that? Mm-mm, Patsy Ramsey strikes again. Please tell me she was a real estate agent.
No, she was a former beauty queen.
That's not a job, Danny. She must have been doing something else.
She must have been doing something. She was diagnosed with cancer super young, so I don't think she did a lot.
No. Danny, people with cancer still have jobs and still have careers.
Well, I don't know what she did, so whatever.
A girl I went to school with was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and she is like an IVF scientist. Like it does not excuse being a fucking lounge about.
Well, they had loads and loads of money, so maybe she was a stay-at-home cancer patient.
I highly recommend
that. Edit map 2616.
Best place for you, really.
She'd entered JonBenet into like loads of fucking pageants and stuff. Mm-hmm. So JonBenet was essentially like a little local celebrity.
Small towns need to dream bigger. We all love this living doll girl. All right. Easy.
Calm down.
I'm only going to the post office. Go.
So yeah, the unsolved murder then of this 6-year-old girl never fails to spark a heated debate. Like loads of fucking conflicting theories, false confessions, and like loads of evidence that they've not even tested yet. Mm-hmm. And this was like,
they'd want to get on that, wouldn't they?
I know.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Yeah. So 25 years, this has kind of been a white whale for like conspiracy theorists or like armchair detectives and shit like that. So many of them adamantly believe that JonBenet was like accidentally killed by a member of her own family, who then staged the death to look like a kidnapping. Others are convinced that an intruder broke into the Ramsey home, killed JonBenet, and then left her there for her family to find. That's pretty mean.
No, none of them really make any sense given what I know about the story. Literally none of them.
No, they really don't. And I was like, literally, because I'd always thought, I was like, oh, the parents did it. But when you research more into it, you're like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, it's not quite as open and shut as the McCanns.
Yeah, like that's the thing. So over the years then, relentless and like sensationalized coverage that immortalized JonBenet as like in these like little tacky pageant photos. It was kind of, people would pay the pageant photographers for pictures of her and stuff, and then they'd be plastered everywhere. And it's just like, I'm sure if my kid was like a pageant kid, like I wouldn't want those. You know what I mean? You don't remember her being portrayed as that.
Yeah, like, look at my trampy child. Like,
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, have you seen my daughter? She's this full of makeup. Like,
no, and the thing is, and like, coming from you, Danny, like, just to clarify, like, there's nothing wrong with wearing loads of makeup and having big hair. I mean, like, look at you, look at me. Like, you know, that's our whole thing. But like, my quiff is like, at one point, it was like 6 feet tall. But like, she's a child. Like, I wouldn't enter my dog in a fucking beauty pageant, let alone a child. And I certainly, if that child was like brutally murdered, have those be the photos people. Like, the thing is, though, I feel like in America, and like the reason those beauty pageants are so big, they like have this really weird thing of like equating like childhood, like they would have been really like enthralled by the idea of like this beautiful perfect child being brutally murdered, like the dichotomy of that. Do you know the kind of way, like,
because it's like it wasn't the family that put the pictures out. It was like media outlets were like buying them and then showing them, even though like her dad was like, I've got
we're at the beach, it's on Christmas morning. Lushy daughter gets murdered in basement. You love
It kind of turned into like a massive game of like media Cluedo. So was it her mom in the basement with a paintbrush, or like the emotionally disturbed older brother with a flashlight to the face?
Yeah, by the way, no one ever talks enough about how emotionally disturbed the brother was.
he creeps me out,
wasn't he?
If he hasn't killed her, he's killed someone. Or he's like fucked a cat or something. Like, he's done something weird.
Maybe Jean-Benet walked in on him fucking the cat.
Maybe, and he was just like, fuck.
I mean, he didn't even try and explain that one away. I mean, like, you could explain that to a 6-year-old and like totally get away with it. Like, we were hugging, and like, and
she's that's okay. Just how boys hug. You know what I mean?
I'm setting her up for a lifetime of horrible experiences with boys while he's at it.
So I'm gonna go into the suspects that we've got and why they're suspects. A lot of it doesn't make any sense. A lot of it is a mind fuck, because it's just, you'll see. So
first, Danny.
First up is the Ma.
Oh,
so that's Patsy.
Ramsey, I would never, ever hurt my child.
So unfortunately, she's dead now. She lost her battle with cancer. So she took kind of whatever she knew about this to the grave.
Never be an IVF doctor.
Oh my god. So both she and her husband John, they were exonerated in 2008 thanks to like developments in DNA technology, but many still think that it was her and that she accidentally murdered JonBenet in like a fit of rage over a bedwetting accident. So they speculate that JonBenet was a bedwetter, that she'd pissed the bed, and then Patsy just fucking lost it and like
she was six.
Rammed her head in. Yeah, like that's it. Like she lost it and like rammed her head into like a bathtub, and that's how she got the big fucking chunk out of her skull.
Why a bathtub? Why do they think that in particular?
It's just that it had to be something that dense and that like hard for her to like. Do you know?
So are we saying that, are they saying it was definitely someone rammed her into the bathtub?
No, it's just it had to be with great fucking force and something really fucking heavy and hard to have caused that. Like her skull was like crushed.
The bathtub is like such an odd thing for them to suggest. Just
it was like
as opposed to suggesting that was definitely the weapon for everyone. Like, it's like when the Ma did it, it was the bathtub, but when the son did it, it was a torch. Like, there's a big difference.
Yeah,
you know, like that's so odd.
No, I know it is weird, but it's like, I guess maybe they were just using it as like an example of like, you know, the type of
women are more likely to murder with household appliances and utilities than men. Men will use a tool, but women will use the kitchen. Like, oh god.
Yeah.
I guess there is some.
So yeah, anyway, search it and see. So yeah, she Patsy was like known generally as a really fucking sweet person. She used to throw these like mad lavish Christmas parties like every year, but still several pieces of evidence suggest that she might have had more to do with it than she was letting on, because she was swearing damn that she did nothing. So it's been speculated that while cleaning up one of JonBenet's bedwetting accidents, that's one of the theories. Second, that JonBenet was found with a rope around her neck, tightened by a homemade garrot, whatever, determined to have been fashioned out of a paintbrush taken from Patsy's paint kit that lay nearby.
Very crafty. She was a real arts and crafts kind of girl.
Mm-hmm. Paint by numbers.
Yeah, she had all that spare time. Yeah.
So third then, the most bizarre random note in like the history of ransom notes. Patsy said she discovered a 2.5-page ransom note on one of the rungs down the spiral staircase that led to the basement where JonBenet's body was found. Yeah. The note demanded $180,000 be given to the foreign faction by 10 a.m. the next day, which was later figured out to be the same amount of John Ramsay's Christmas bonus from his company.
Oh, and what is the foreign faction?
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
It says foreign faction. That was on the ransom note. That's where they had to give the money to.
Yeah, because like fuck me if I'm wrong, but like a foreign faction would be like what you'd call, you know, like a department somewhere, like an international department or something. Like it's so like it's not just Google something it. Like in the world, like the foreign faction isn't just a thing. No, did you not Google it in your exquisite research?
It is title of a book refers to the ransom note. Oh,
you just no. It like totally doesn't exist. Like you're literally just getting things about JonBenet Ramsay.
All right. Well, you didn't do any research.
Yeah, that's our thing.
Right. Anyway, so foreign faction wanted money, basically. Right. Whatever. So. Same amount as his bonus. It's speculated that Patsy had like killed JonBenet, panicked, and then wrote the note herself, mm-hmm. like in the moment.
Yeah, well, clearly she didn't really think about it, did she?
No.
Give it to the Al Qaeda.
But yeah, the handwriting analysis determines that it was inconclusive. So it didn't even say, oh, it's definitely not her. It just wasn't conclusive. She had to write it like a bunch of times.
They didn't rule her out either. Like,
no, like, and they made her write it like 25, 30 times, like over and over again.
Yeah, but like, you can totally make your handwriting not look like your own if you really want to.
Oh, yeah, you know? Fully. But the weird thing about it was, is that the note was actually written on some of her stationery.
Like, I'm sorry, nothing weird about any of this. Like, it's all pretty damn.
With her own pen. Like, her damn pen.
She sprayed her perfume on it. Force of habit, guys. Force of habit. That's how I became number one realtor in Boulder, Colorado. Little touches, people notice.
So, in the years then following the murder, Patsy, she was super defensive.
No!
She got into a genuine scrap with an audience member on, like, the Larry King show. Like, she fucking full-on went for him. So, family and friends, like, insisted that she adored JonBenet. She never, ever hurt the little girl, like, blah, blah, blah.
Until...
but yeah, and then some people were kind of chipping in and being like, well, she is sexualizing her daughter.
Well, that's actually it's a valid point, though. I mean, we were all thinking it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So the next suspect is the dad. I don't think he did it at all. This is like, I don't know. If anyone of like her family was responsible, I'll get to it. So the dad. Police arrived then to the crime scene that morning, and they had like no footsteps in the snow, nothing. So it didn't look like there was an intruder. So it looked like the crime happened like involving someone else in the house. So Linda Arden, she was the first police officer to arrive at the scene.
Love her.
She looked around the house like no bell. She couldn't see any signs of intrusion, nothing. So she sent John Ramsey and his neighbor who had come over to search the house just to see if they could find anything like out of the ordinary. John made a beeline straight for the basement and then he immediately found JonBenet. So though he'd like been told to leave everything where he'd found it, he picked her up, carried her upstairs, took like a
shook her around, marionetted her up and down the stairs to perform a musical number, and then put her back down.
No, but like I don't think
ruffled her hair, kissed her on the forehead.
Would you be able to leave her on the floor though? Do you know what I mean? Like I think if it was my kid, I'd end up picking them up and being like, do you know what I mean? But anyway, so he'd like taken tape off her mouth because she was obviously like taped and gagged and stuff. And then he even like covered her up with a throw blanket, which would have further destroyed any physical evidence that they had had. So Arden then, she started to feel like Ramsey knew a little bit too much. She made no secret of her suspicions towards the family. Like, while John's unseen discovery of the body was suggested to have been the fault of like a botched police investigation. We love those over here.
I feel like Linda Ardent, though, like, even the name alone, she doesn't.
She's a wisecracking tough cookie.
She doesn't solve it, but my God, she thinks she's gonna, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. She probably still doesn't sleep at night thinking about this case.
Probably.
Oh yeah.
Like definitely a lesbian. I have to fuck with you. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
Definitely. I bet she's real, like she's really hot and she wears her hair in a ponytail. I'm imagining kind of like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is who I'm imagining.
Oh yeah.
In this role. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Real tough with kind eyes, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. A bunch of people then, they think that it's weird that intuition alone would lead someone to like an completely unused part of their house. Like, they never went down into the basement and he was like, oh, basement, first place he went. But then I'm like,
the thing is,
he obviously would have checked everywhere else.
Yeah, no, but that's what I was gonna say. Like, if she was like supposedly missing, like surely you would have looked there.
Yeah. Like,
oh my god, we have a basement. I just remembered. Hold on, let me show you her dance that she can do.
I know, like, it's just, it's weird. Like,
the only thing I will say, though, Danny, is that, like, all that weird stuff that he did with her body that destroyed all the evidence, like, would it not have been smarter to have done that before, like, she came? Like, why did he wait until someone else was there to be like, uh-oh, like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched interviews with him, and he said that he was just, like, had a sense of relief when he saw her because he thought she might have still been alive, so he ran and grabbed her, like, as you would. Like, that's understandable, I think. Like, you're not just going to be like, oh, she could be alive, I'm just gonna go back up here and like get the lady officer.
Why wasn't, like, so he ran down on his own
and yeah, they did, she told they did go him
down with him.
No, she told him and a neighbor that had come over to check the house and see if anything was out of the ordinary.
But he didn't call out for anyone.
No, he went down and then he found her and brought her up.
Ugh. Like,
when she said, like, if you find, like, don't touch anything, basically, if it's out of, you know, out of the ordinary. So obviously his dead little girl is a bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I did a thing. So, sorry.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, so Arden then, she told ABC News in 1999 that she'd found like other actions of the family like quite suspicious as well. Mm-hmm. So John and Patsy let the 10 a.m. deadline in the note just slip by without a word. It's just like, I have to get this by 10 a.m. and they never acknowledged it again.
Jesus,
they
never said. Well, then, do you know what? Like, one thing that like no one has actually explored is, maybe the note was real and maybe they just like let her die because they didn't try and pay the ransom or call the police about it.
Yeah. Like, so she described as well kneeling beside JonBenet's body, like inches away from John. Mm-hmm. And she was convinced, so convinced that the murderer was in the house that she claimed to have quietly counted the bullets in her holster just in case she had to use one.
Like, here's the thing though, like her feelings aren't like facts. No, do you know, like
absolutely not. Like, So she wasn't the only one then who found his behavior quite suspicious. A detective on the scene claimed to have overheard John making arrangements to fly the family to Atlanta just hours after the murder. So John, he admitted to this, but he was like, well, I'm just want to fucking get out of the house where my daughter was married. Like, murdered. And he was like, I think I would do the same. Like, I couldn't stay in the house. Could you?
No. But look, here's the thing, though, Danny. Like, when someone, like, it'd be different if, like, if his daughter died in, like, a natural accident. Fair enough. But, like,
yeah,
surely you know you are going to be under investigation over this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, surely, like... like, you wouldn't leave the fucking state. Like, you'd go check into a hotel. You wouldn't go to fucking Atlanta. I wouldn't go to Atlanta anytime. But, like, you wouldn't leave the state. I mean, like, come on. Like, there's no way you think you look completely innocent. Like, there's no way you think that. Like, even, like, my worst fear is that I will be wrongly accused of a murder. And I'll be like, what do I do? Because... people will be like, oh, well, an innocent person wouldn't act that way. And I'd be like, yeah, but I know that you think I'm not innocent. Do you know the kind of way? Like, it's like, you know.
Ah. Well, you're the only ones in the fucking house. Like, you found the body. Of course you're going to be a suspect.
Also,
like,
why didn't you call the police when you found the ransom note?
She did. It was the mom that called the police as soon as she found it.
Oh, sorry, but no, but when they let the 10 p.m. deadline go by, as in, like, none of them went like, oh shit, it's 10 o'clock, we're too late. Like,
never acknowledged it. Never acknowledged it. Mm. It's like, give this money to the foreign faction or blah, blah, blah. But then I guess, like, they said that the note was basically like, oh, or we'll kill her. And then, like, she's already dead. So, like, why would we give you $180,000 now? Because she's already dead, I guess.
No,
so,
and, like, the thing is, like, that 10 o'clock would be, like, drilled into your brain that, like... you wouldn't
10 a.m.
or 10 well, 10 o'clock is still 10 a.m. Danny, but like I don't know. Sorry, go on.
So
down in the details, man.
I know
Patsy Ramsey with the details instead of being Linda Ardent with, like, you know, her intuition and her eye on the prize.
That should be all you need. So they wanted to go to Atlanta. They were both from Atlanta. They'd lived there for 25 years. And then these rumors of sexual abuse started to go around, saying that the two of them were abusing her and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which sucks, man. Like, for me to be a parent and get accused of that, like, Jesus Christ.
And, like, the basis of that was clearly just because she was a beauty pageant child. Like, if she hadn't have been, they probably would have never, that would have never kicked off. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah. Like exactly. Like, if she was just an ugly little kid, people would be like,
No one abuses ugly children.
So yeah, they basically were kind of like pushing him to be like, did you rape your daughter? Did you rape her? Like, you know, did you abuse her? Did you beat her?
No, but like, these are like valid questions as well, though, in fairness.
Yeah.
Like, they're things that, like, they need to, but they should probably try and ascertain it in a way that's not so direct questioning.
Yeah. So Ramsey had said then, quote, a person doesn't go throughout their lives as a normal human being, one night turn into a monster, slaughter their daughter, go to bed and get up and act normal from there on. That doesn't happen, end quote. Which is true.
No, I think that happens all the time.
I don't think so.
No, did you not watch that documentary on Netflix that was released over the summer of that man who, like, killed his wife and children? And he did exactly just that. He was totally fine. And then he killed them. And then he went back and became totally normal.
Benoit did it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So he was exonerated anyway, as well, as we know, with Patsy. So DNA testing basically cleared all three members of the immediate Ramsey family. Which brings me on to the weird fucking brother. Right, so he was exonerated.
Everyone has a weird brother. Like, no, let's just calm down. I was the weird brother.
Ugh, this kid just creeps me out, right? So John and Patsy, they kept him away from, like, his name is Burke, by the way, Burke Ramsey.
Burke.
They kept Burke.
Burke.
Burke. B-U-R-K-E.
Like the surname. Burke. Fucking Americans keep turning surnames into first names, and it's really
annoying. I know. So, yeah. They kept him away from the media and stuff, like, for years after the murder. And, like, judging by his really fucking weird interview on Dr. Phil, probably a good idea.
I am going to watch that on YouTube as soon as
it's so creepy. It's so creepy. He like smiles throughout the entire. Anyway, so
Bert, I'm just like, how dare he be happy once this sad thing happened to him once when he was a child?
I don't know. I guess because like, I said this to Matt, like when I'm awkward or like nervous, I laugh. So I guess it's like, you know what I mean? People have different
some kind of crutch.
Yeah. So it could just be that, but I just think he's creepy.
Yeah.
So
did his crutch have to be so creepy? Like, did it have to be that he was holding a life-size doll replica of his sister and he was brushing her hair through the whole thing?
So yeah, he did decide to clear the air in this interview with Dr. Phil. This was September 2016. Mm-hmm. He would have been 29.
Oh my so god, he, like, I'm older than him then. Oh.
So yeah, he grinned through Dr. Phil's line of questioning that ran down the chain of events leading up to the night in question.
Oh yeah, but wait, in fairness to him, like how old was he at the time? Like what was this, 1998? Was that?
I feel like...
Did you not have the year research?
She died in 96.
Yeah, so 96, okay. And he was 29 in 2016. So, like, he only would have been, like, what, 7?
Yeah, he was super young. Yeah. 7, 8. Yeah. So
like, in fairness, like, what would he... Like, what do you remember about being 7? Do you know?
Pokemon.
Like, I think that's when I got a moth in my ear. Anyway.
So, yeah. Soon after then, after CBS aired The Case of JonBenet Ramsey, a 2-part documentary that reinvestigated like loads of evidence and stuff like that, they had a retired profiler, Jim Clement, and former Scotland Yard behavioural analyst Laura Richards on there.
They always have those, don't they? How many retired profilers and behavioural analysts are there? Like,
you're like, I've got nothing else to do.
Either this is an endless supply of them, or it's the same two that they bring out all the time. I'd love to know.
I'd say so. So the documentary then, it did kind of like lean their suspicions towards Burke as close as they possibly could without making any kind of like formal accusation.
This is a very wink winky.
Yeah, like strongly hinting at it.
Oh, brother, wink. Let me tell you about that day. Yeah.
So the CBS team, they actually set up a compelling theory. So the forensic investigator, Werner Spitz is his name.
Werner Spitz. You see, I'm going to solve this murder. See? Werner Spitz solving murder since 1993.
Anyway, so his review of JonBenet's autopsy included a perfectly rectangular defect that he suspected came from a blow to the little girl's head with a blunt, heavy flashlight.
Not a bath. Not a bath.
No.
Okay. Two very different analyses here. Analyses.
Anyway, so yeah, he had seen the flashlight in the crime scene photos. So he was like, oh, that fits perfectly. Like, that's what did it. So he claimed that it fit the 8.5-inch gash, like...
Sorry.
Like, to perfection. That's, like, in quotes. But no, Trey's...
Flash, that's big. Although, yeah, in the 90s, flashlights were big, though, weren't they? Jesus Christ.
And she had a tiny little head, like...
I want to try and bring it back away from the horribleness of the reality of the situation as much as possible. Also, she actually had quite a large head for a child.
It's just the hair, though.
Yeah,
I don't think she actually had a big head. Like...
I don't know. We'll do a poll on Instagram later. A game of head or hair.
So yeah, they didn't find any evidence of either JonBenet or Burke on the flashlight when they tested it. So, but it became even more suspicious when tied to the pineapple scenario. So this is the one I believe in, to be fair. So there's a theory that suggested that JonBenet had taken a slice of fruit from Burke's like snack plate, I guess, because an undigested piece of pineapple was found in her stomach during autopsy. So they believe basically that she took this piece of pineapple and then he fucking flipped his shit and just bit her with a flashlight out of anger. So
I'm sorry, but like, if that dad got 180 grand of a Christmas bonus, like, we can get you another pineapple, kid. Like,
calm the fuck down.
Has anyone ever thought about the fact that JonBenet may have been like a little psychopathic child, though? Like, I've wondered that about this case. Like, when you think of what, like, if you've ever seen Toddlers and Tiaras, you know what some of those kids are like. What if she was a fucking demon and they're all...
She was possessed and they had to kill her.
No, but I don't want to say, oh, they were glad to be rid of her, but, like, maybe, like, she's fucking bullied.
Maybe they were glad to be rid of her.
Maybe, I mean, it's too late to know now, but, like, what if, like, she was, like, bullying the shit out of the weird brother who, like, possibly had some kind of behavioral problem? And he fucking snapped and murdered her. And, like, the other two parents are so fucking afraid of her and she was so fucking awful that they, like, took the brother's side in it and, like, helped him.
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry. I know that's a terrible thing to say about a child, but, like, what's she gonna do?
Also,
can I just point out, some children are evil.
Yeah,
like,
no, fully.
Like, and those Toddlers and Tiaras girls, particularly evil, so...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. So she had marks on her back as well. So they previously thought that these were from a stun gun.
She was rampaging through the house. Quick, get the gun, Patsy! No, fuck off. They didn't have a stun gun for her.
That's what they thought. So there's marks on her back. So each... It was like two little holes and... Each, like, it was done several times, so each of them were like the same distance apart all over her body.
Okay.
So they assumed it was like a stun gun. But they were consistent with the edges of one of Burke's toy train tracks, which Spit suggested may have been used by Burke to poke his sister's unconscious body for a response. Like,
no, sorry, it doesn't sound like he was poking her for a response. It sounds like he was going beep beep like over her dead body,
stabbing her.
Yeah,
like,
okay, actually, yeah, maybe I take back what I said. Maybe the weird brother is weird. Okay,
yeah. So Burke then he shot back immediately after this aired. Not the usual action of a guilty party, to be fair, but he went straight into like with an attorney, saying that CBS perpetrated a fraud on its viewers. And then he filed an $150 million lawsuit against Spitz for potentially defamatory statements that he'd made about Burke. But
and whatever came of that?
He didn't. It got thrown out because, like, it's not a defamatory statement. He's going on evidence.
Yeah.
Like, he's not straight out saying.
He's not saying, it's not saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love that his whole thing is like, hey, wait a minute, I may be weird and creepy, but I'm not a, like, you know.
I know.
I can be weird and creepy without being a murderer. No, you can't.
You can't. Okay, go ahead.
You cannot, you creep.
Oh, speaking of, our next... suspect is actually the town creeper.
Okay, like, that is way too funny a name for something so serious.
I know. I called him that because I was like,
whatever. Oh, sorry. I thought that was like what like the townspeople calls him, and I was like, guys, do something about him.
So Gary Oliva was a 32-year-old known sex offender.
Older than me. At least for now.
All right. Known sex offender in Boulder, Colorado, when JonBenet was found strangled to death in what looked like a sexual assault, given that there was blood on her underwear. So the convicted pedophile had been living in the area on and off, and police allegedly found a magazine cut out of JonBenet Ramsey in his like backpack. Yeah, after he was apprehended on drug charges in 2000.
I'd love if like he was found on like for, I don't know, something to do with drugs, and then when they searched him, they were like, here's a picture of a sexy child, but you know, that's not a crime. Anyways, free to go. And then one of the like other detectives being like, what do you mean that's not a crime? Yes, it is. And then he's being like, well, anyway, it's not a crime. We have him for, so goodbye.
Yeah. So yeah, he was like soon released, but suspicions did remain about this guy. Yes. So the Ramsey family's longtime private investigator, his name's Ollie Gray. So
sorry. No. You just don't get to skim by that one. They had a longtime private investigator.
Yeah.
Why?
I'll get to that.
This so, is ADAF.
I know. But they had money, a lot of money.
No, but so, excuse me, I know literal like millionaires, like a couple of millionaires, and none of them have a longtime private investigator. That's suspicious, you know.
Like, that year that she was killed, John's company took in over $1 billion in sales.
That still doesn't explain the private investigator, though. Like, if you're not doing anything wrong, like.
If I had that amount of money, though, I wouldn't fucking trust anyone around me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, what is he? Is he like getting them to look up? Oh, Tom and Sheila came to our fabulous Christmas Eve party last year. Let's have them looked into to make sure they can come next year. Like,
what? I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
Oh my God. Love this. Oh my God. Okay.
So, so the family's then private investigator, Ollie, once referred to Oliva's ties to JonBenet as a bombshell arrest in the case. So soon after, Oliva's high school friend, Michael Vale, he stepped forward with an allegation that was supporting Ollie's suspicion, basically. So Vale claimed that not long after the murder, a distraught Oliva had called him on the phone and confessed, I hurt a little girl. So Vale said he was particularly unsettled by how the knots used to fashion the garrow that strangled JonBenet were like those used in an incident where Oliva attempted to choke his mother with a telephone cord. Yeah. So he said, quote, my blood ran cold when I read that, end quote, recalled Vale of his childhood friend.
Sorry, can I pause there? Okay.
Yeah.
So a little girl has been murdered. Okay. Let's say I don't know about the murder, okay? But a little girl has been murdered. And one of my friends, like childhood friend, but let's just say like one of my best friends, like basically anyone calls me. You call me at any point to be like, I hurt a little girl. Like, I wouldn't just like be like, okay, cool, bye. And then be like, oh my God, on the news, like a little girl is like, well, did Danny do that? And then like, how did you just like let that go? Like, did he not say, what do you mean, what happened? Like, he just kind of like just hang up. And like, and yeah, if, and yeah. I know, and if so,
if he went to the police,
no, but if he did just hang up, then when you saw on the news that little girl's been murdered and be like, wait a minute, was that Danny? Like, I would call you then. like, let's just discuss, let's have that conversation I wasn't quite ready to have that day, do you know? Like, I don't know. This guy sounds a bit like he just wants some media attention or something.
Maybe. But he did call the police kind of like straight away. And then it's... So he was cleared as well with DNA testing. But then soon afterwards, he was actually charged with 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a child.
Yeah.
For possessing child pornography.
Look, here's the thing is that like I don't want to say horrendous timing, because like everything about what that man did to any child is horrendous, but like he may have just hurt like another child, like he may have just abused a child or something,
like, yeah,
and then called. I still don't know why he called that particular man like his old high school friend who he apparently didn't speak to in a long time.
They might have had
no connection to JonBenet. Do you know that kind of way? Like, yeah. Still awful, but like it just of that particular crime.
The picture of her in his backpack, which like obviously it's gross, but like if he's a pedophile, he was probably using it to jerk off to. Doesn't mean that he like raped her or killed her.
Oh no, like 100%. Like, and like we know he's a pedophile. Like, he's a convicted sex offender. He was later found, you know, of like abusing children and having like child pornography. So like we know that. And like, not to be like, that's not a big deal. But like, he probably, like, if he lived locally in the town and she was like a local celebrity, like, I don't want to make this comparison, but like, if Chris Hemsworth lived in my village, I'd probably have a cardboard cut out of him in my backpack too. Do you know? Yeah, like,
probably.
You know, like, so, like, he's still a bad guy, but like, he didn't necessarily murder her. Do you know?
That's the thing. Like, it's just kind of like, I'm sure this sounds awful, but I'm sure a lot of fucking pedophiles were into her and into kids, toddlers and tiaras in general.
That's one of the reasons why I have such a horrible thing about child beauty pageants.
Yeah.
You know, like it is sexualizing children. Like, I think that everyone who runs those must be a pedophile. Like
oh yeah,
fully. Like it's so fucked. And like, it's a real thing as well that like, it's excused for like girls, but like, I cannot imagine a world where there's like, oh, let's have like the most beautiful boy contest and, you know, it would never happen, and like, rightfully so. But it's just a real thing that with girls, it's just like, no, let's continue to train girls from a very young age to be highly sexualized. Do you know the kind of way? Like if anyone tried to start up the boys' version of that, they would immediately be like, rightfully chased out of town for being an absolute pedo. But like, with the girls one, it's just like totally accepted. Like, it's so weird. Like,
it's fucked up.
And like any parent who puts their child in for that, like, I don't mean to be like, that's what you get, but like, I don't mean the murder of JonBenet, but I mean like, yeah, well, guess what? Creepy men are gonna carry your child's fucking cardboard cutout around your backpack if you're dressing them up like fucking bait. Like, ugh, like, it's horrible. Yeah.
Exactly.
Shame on me, Patty Ramsey.
So, there's another guy then. So,
Jesus Christ. Sorry, just for full disclosure of everyone. So, Danny sent me her notes earlier, but I did not read them. Okay.
Thanks.
I know. I was supposed to make notes, but I didn't. So, I'm reading them like kind of just, I'm not really reading them. I have them open as Danny is like reading the notes to me. And just, I scrolled onto the next page and you're like, that brings us on to our next suspect. And then, like, my page scrolled down and it just has written in big letters, The Electrician. And I was just like, I hear they're really fucking reaching for suspects.
I know. But this is where the private investigator comes in. So another potential suspect, according to Ollie Gray, was an electrician named Michael Helgoth who worked in a nearby auto salvage yard.
Uh-huh.
So he referred to Helgoth as a hellraiser tied to an alleged property dispute involving the Ramseys.
Nothing has to do with like murdering a child, because
no. But this is the thing. This is what kind of, it really confuses me. So they were in a property dispute, hence probably why the Ramseys had a PI tailing them to maybe, I don't know, like, you get it. Like, but this was like, they think maybe it could have served as like revenge on the family to kidnap JonBenet.
I mean, like, sorry, talk about having no chill. Like, Jesus, you're out to 60. Like,
yeah.
That's my event. No, it's my event. Kidnap your daughter.
So when this guy got wind of the fact that he was being considered a suspect, he actually killed himself before anyone could get to him.
No, but so, the thing is, like, like, as I said, like, one of my worst fears is being wrongly accused of something like that. And, like, I don't know that I wouldn't do it, because I don't know if I'd have faith in the justice system that I'd be found innocent. Yeah. Like, I really, knowing what I know and what I've
seen. He's cleared as well with DNA. So he killed himself and he wouldn't have been any, you know what I mean? They would have probably tested him. And then, I guess, like, if you're a suspect in a case where a child was raped and killed, you're forever going to be that person that was a suspect in that case.
Over, like,
yeah.
Like, you still, like, shouldn't do it, because, like, let's face it, like, this guy could have, like, moved to, like, England and no one would have known, like, you know, the kind of way. But, like,
yeah,
like, you could, I suppose. But, like, no, I can totally understand. Like, like, you don't know, like, he may not have had a great support network and may not have had good mental health as it was at the beginning. Do you know that kind of way? Like, some people wouldn't survive something like that. Oh, no.
I was sad for that one.
Yeah, I bet he was
only 26
I bet he was really sexy. A 26-year-old electrician who worked at an auto soft yard and a bit of a hellraiser. Like, I'm sorry, I'll get on the back of his motorbike and take off into the sunset with him, like, 100%. Once he didn't do it. If he did.
Yeah, then, when you know he didn't.
Yeah. Actually, maybe if he's still alive, I would totally, like, seduce him and try and solve it. I can try and get it out of him.
Crack the case.
Yeah, it's all an undercover stakeout.
So another suspect then is a school teacher named John Mark Carr. So, weirdly, he confessed out of the blue to murdering her in graphic sexual detail.
Gross!
I know. John! So Carr was arrested
level of detail at all.
I know. So he was arrested in Thailand, where he'd been living on the lam after facing child porn charges in the US.
Oh yeah, and going to Thailand, that's really going to exonerate you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So,
of course you would go there, you fucking freak.
So he was a 51 at this time anyway. So he initially brought himself into the mess by reaching out to University of Colorado professor named Michael Tracy over email regarding a documentary that Tracy was making on the case. Mm-hmm. So once those emails took a fucking gross turn revealing the grown man's sexual obsession with JonBenet, Tracy reported Carr to the police immediately, who got arrested him in Bangkok as a possible suspect. So he was immediately flown to Boulder for questioning, but he was ultimately cleared after his DNA failed to match the profile of an unknown male found on the waistband of JonBenet's pajamas. So Carr's confession then, it involved like a series of diary entries allegedly written from the scene of the crime. So in one account, Carr recalls strangling JonBenet in a love game gone wrong.
Sorry, it's not funny at all, but it's just like,
no, it's
let's
not.
Play, and a I'm love gonna feel... play a love game.
And I feel fucking gross reading this, so I'm just gonna put it. Okay, so quote, "Close your pretty eyes, sweetheart," end quote, reads the excerpt, in which Carr repeatedly refers to himself as Daxy.
Why?
I don't know. So, quote, "Daxy loves you so much. Oh, God, I love you, JonBenet. And my lover's eyes are slowly closing."
I'm sorry. Can I just stop right here? Fucking JonBenet has half the man in town fucking fighting over and I can't get a text back.
Exactly.
Well, like, what's so special about her? Like,
start lying about your age. God.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Instead of being 28, it's like, I'm six. Oh my God, if I was six, I think people would just vomit on me as I walked by them. Like, why are your forehead
why is that six-year-old
smoking? Like, like a Sharpay. Yeah, I mean, like that actor who plays Lisa in the Simpsons.
Oh yeah. So yeah, so Carr's alleged involvement then, it like broke international headlines. Everyone was freaking the fuck out, like media fiasco basically. So he was ultimately dismissed as a suspect altogether. And no, but like,
can I just ask a question here? Okay, if someone confesses to a crime and describes in great detail really graphic like sexual abuse of a child, fakes diary entries of stuff like him being all cuddly and coddly of the child.
Yeah.
Just because he gets like exonerated or dismissed as a subject or as a suspect because of, you know, DNA, or it just doesn't make any sense, or do you know the kind of way, like, can they not like just put him in an asylum? Because like he's still a danger to someone somewhere. Like,
so
this... he may not have killed this child, but like, these are all red flags. Like, I wouldn't go on a second Tinder date with this guy. So like, why would they let him go free? Like, it just doesn't.
This is the thing, right? He was written off, right, as, quote, a paedophile. He was just after notoriety and fame.
Oh, sure. Half of Hollywood is that. Let him off.
Kevin Spacey. Like, do you know what I mean? So, officials, like, they couldn't even verify if he was ever in Boulder, like, if he'd ever been to Boulder before. So,
wait, was he not from there?
No.
Oh, I thought he was, like, a teacher at the school.
No, he found out that the professor of the university in Boulder was making a documentary about the case.
Oh, no, I knew that, but I thought that he was still, you know...
No, he had no connections. He was just fucking crazy. Like,
wait, so he's running around still. Well, he's been out in his 70s, so he's probably zimmering around, but like...
No, you're wrong there. So, one-time suspect... Now living a new identity and new gender in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh,
yeah.
I want it to be like good for her, but like I don't support anything else that's done. And also, I really hate when anyone who's like anti-trans is going to use like them as an example of like, see, trans people are weird and sexual perverts. Like, it's like, oh, like, no, like the trans community does not need you out there fucking repping for them, you fucking wanker.
Exactly. So this next one.
What? Oh my god. Never. I'm sorry, Linda Argent. I supported you in the beginning, but you were just fucking chancing your arm, shooting fucking
in the
park here. Fucking pulling out names left, right, and center with no fucking.
I know. Okay. So this next one, I believe, like, this is kind of the one that sways me the most. So Linda Hoffman Pugh, she was the housekeeper, and she worked there for ages, and her husband, Mervyn, Mervyn, he was the handyman. So they both had keys to the house, right? So during the investigation of the murder, Hoffman Pugh didn't even begin to fit the profile that the police were after. So
woman,
and
like, let's get real, and you know, for good reason, it's most more likely going to be a man. So like, in fairness, but like, definitely an element of like this weak,
basically
weak female housekeeper. Yeah, there's no chance.
The perp that they were looking for was white male, former convict, 25 to 30 years old.
Basically. Yeah, because basically my demographic is the most likely one to commit such awful crimes. I know, it's awful.
But Linda, she didn't hold back on her suspicions that she had killed John Bonet.
Oh my god, I love her. She's probably doing it while she's still fucking work, going into work every day. I'm telling you, Miss Patsy did it. Like, you know, and she's fucking making a pie for Miss Patsy.
Oh, probably. In the room. Like, she's got those big grandma arm elbows. Oh my god. Like, just rolling down.
Bad about Linda Hoffman Pugh. Yeah, absolutely. Oh. I have a child, I'm going to call them Linda Hoffman Pugh. That's the name of an Academy Award winner. I do not care. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Academy Award winner, Linda Hoffman Pugh, stars as herself.
So, yeah, anyway, that said then, Patsy had claimed to investigators that Hoffman Pugh was struggling for money and had asked for a loan of like several thousand dollars. And like Ramsey was like, no. So police showed up at the Pugh's home the night after the murder and asked the 57-year-old woman to write the number 180,000 on a piece of paper and reportedly like took her fingerprints, several strands of her hair, which makes it seem like they just pulled her by the head.
Evan, I don't know how much that she has left.
So she then testified in front of a grand jury for a total of
I just imagine she's testifying in front of the grand jury as like, you know, like the Cynthia doll from Rugrats.
So yeah, she testified for like, I think something like 8 hours, like something fucking crazy.
Filibuster. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Including
What was she saying for 8 hours? Like, that is excessively long. Like,
she,
let me tell you the story. It all started back in 1938 when a young girl named whatever my name is was born.
It's my possum story. She just started to tell that. God,
yeah.
So she basically, she made a statement against Patsy that read, I think she had multiple personalities. she'd be in a good mood and then she'd be cranky. That's not a fucking...
It's just being a human being.
A human being. She got into arguments with JonBenet about wearing a dress or about a friend coming over. I'd never seen Patsy so upset.
Well, like, they're two different things. Oh, was it either something about a dress or something about a friend coming over or whether global warming was a hoax? And it was, you know, something like that. Anyway, she was very upset about it.
Is that just not like normal mother-daughter things? Like, you're not wearing that dress. Like, no, I picked out this one, you're wearing this one. No. Or like, no, yeah, your friend can't come over and stay because we've got people coming for dinner. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah, it's a normal parenting. No,
entirely. But even if they did have an argument about something like that, I can't imagine that would result in the murder of one of them. Do you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Hoffman Pew theory, it basically asserted that she enticed JonBenet down to the basement that night in an attempt to like trick her employer. Well, she would have trusted her if she was being like
pineapple pie.
Oh God!
That's why pineapple was in her stomach.
I know, but like the pineapple pie just sounds disgusting.
Oh my God! Like absolutely, anyone who does that should be shocked.
So yeah, they
aliens do it.
Do they?
Charlene, will you let us know?
Let us know, babes. So yeah, they basically think that if it was her, she lured JonBenet into the basement. In an attempt to kind of trick the family to give her that $180,000.
Sorry, but that's the first person you're going to think of is like, wait a minute, weren't you asking for exactly $180,000 a couple of weeks ago? Like,
so she'd asked for a few thousand. I don't think it was the same, but the reason that they think that she was asking for the $180,000 is that she could have seen John's payslip.
Yeah.
And been like, that's what you get, so I'll just ask for that. Which is stupid. No, like, you'd go lower or higher. You'd go, like, do you know what I mean? 150, 200.
Danny, look. Well, first of all, she's stupid because it would obviously show that she, you know, was involved in some way. But also, like, the kidnapper obviously must have been involved in the household to have that figure. But also, if anyone thinks that the person who gets money for their Christmas bonus still has that same amount of money like a couple of weeks later, they are stupid. Yeah. Like, she should have just been asking for like 100. Like, there's no way. Like, you know, the kind of way.
That's
like,
what I mean. Yeah.
Like, I get it, like a couple of grand every year. And like, if you ask me, like, you know, for how much of that did you put in savings like 2 weeks later, I will walk away from you without answering.
Yeah, like nothing.
No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
But yeah, so she does make like a pretty convenient suspect, but she like, and she didn't have an alibi. So like, she said she was asleep in bed while her husband was asleep on the couch. So like, there's, you know, room to speculate that she could have very well been involved. But anything that's basically pertaining to her having done it is all circumstantial, and there's not been anything really to hold against her.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's a thing that like, it is suspect, but also I'm like, I kind of love her, so like, I don't...
She's the most believable to me
as a suspect.
Yeah, I think no, so.
I want the film made about this to be told from her perspective. And I want it played by Conchita Farrell.
I would go with Octavia Spencer.
Do you think she's black? I didn't think she was black.
I don't know. I just picture that her being sassy black. And like.
No, well, Danny, that's low key racial profiling. But
is it?
Well, yeah. No, Hoffman Pew, I think, is very white name. Yeah. No, I see her being white in my head now. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of blind casting, and you know, she could be black. She wasn't black in my head, but I actually think that was better that she wasn't, because a black housekeeper who's sassy.
Yeah. Like,
well done, Danny.
For a rich white family.
You're really spearhead writing, you know, complicated black characters for Hollywood. Like, you're doing a great job, lady. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I suppose she could be any race. Just in my head, she was white because Hoffman Pew.
I don't know what race she is, honestly. I just think, like, I love that character for Octavia Spencer because she plays that kind of character so well. Like that, no, she did it, bitch did it. Like just being like really over the top, sassy and bitter.
And I suppose she could bring the darkness of her role in Mama to it as well.
Yes, and, that's what I was thinking. And
if she was kind of playing that, you know, you then like if she was that all the way through the movie, you could kind of be like, did she, didn't she? Did she?
Yeah.
Maybe she just looks like that. Maybe she just has those mad eyes all the time. Maybe that doesn't kill anyone, do you know? But
that's the thing. It's the fucking mad eyes. It's the facials. It's always the facials.
Oh, she so is this... one of the most amazing actresses ever. Like
she's incredible. I love her.
She's great.
So our last suspect, which is absolutely not this poor man, and it makes me so sad reading this, right? But Santa Claus is the last suspect.
What? Like, excuse me? Like, it's Linda Argent, you need to hand over your badge because you've lost your goddamn mind, lady.
I know. So this guy, Bill McReynolds, so he's dead now, but he was a friend of the Ramseys who he used to dress up as Santa the week before the JonBenet's like massive Christmas party.
Okay.
And entertain like the kids at like, do you know what I mean? Like in the neighborhood, and he'd come to the party as Santa and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. Like what an older man dressed as Santa makes a pretty good perp in like a sexualized child and the possibility.
I'm sorry. I know. No, it doesn't. It doesn't because like men dress up.
You're gonna assume
not every day because they dress up as Santa every day. Is very wrong. But like
no, but that's you're gonna assume like it's just a really weird associate people have. They're like, oh, I'm all Santa, no, creepy.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it'd be weird if he's doing that in like June. But like, if he gets invited by the Ramseys to their Christmas party every year, and like, they probably asked him to dress up as Santa and did like a little thing.
Yeah, like I'm sure. Like anyway,
oh,
so like,
oh, no, Bill,
I know it gets worse though. So what? I don't Gosh, think. Shit. I know. I don't think that he had anything to do with the murder, but he was rumored to have paid like a little too much attention to JonBenet.
Sorry, Danny. I know I keep interrupting you during this, but I just need to call out there. Like, oh, he paid too much attention to JonBenet. Was that first noticed and raised after she was murdered, though?
Exactly.
Like, you know, like exactly. I highly doubt anyone thought there was anything weird about how much attention he paid her while the party was happening, and it was only when she died. Oh, actually, now that I think about it, like.
Yeah, and if he went to like their Christmas party every year, he was obviously close to the family, right?
Yeah, she's probably like the daughter he never had. He was probably most devastated over her death, giving her awful.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
And we'll get to that as well. So basically, like they thought he was being creepy because he'd arranged like a secret visit from Santa Claus.
It's like, a bit odd.
His parents would have been there, but you know what I mean. Like, I mean, he called her like his special friend, and then I think that's sweet. And then he went as far as to bring
a special friend.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, you just get on with people. He obviously just took a shine to her. Mm. And then he went so far as to bring a vial of glitter that she'd given to him as a present into heart surgery with him. He brought it in with him. And then, which is a bit weird, I guess, but he asked his wife to mix the glitter in with his ashes where he'd die.
Oh no, okay, we've crossed the line.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But like, maybe he was just, like, he just loved her. Like, do you know what I mean? We don't know.
What was so great about her? What's wrong with me? Me. Jamanae. It doesn't lend itself to that. If only Joel had the fucking shoehorned his fucking name in there, it'd be like, Benay. It'd be perfect.
So there was loads of buzz like about this, obviously, in papers and stuff, but it's been described as a sensationalized character assassination of a friendly old man.
Yeah, that is exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. So that's our last suspect, and to this day, we still don't know who the fuck did it.
I'm surprised
there's loads of evidence.
No, I'm surprised Linda Argent hasn't been like, the Easter Bunny! Like, she's currently in, like, an insane asylum rocking back and forth in a straitjacket, just naming characters from books. Like, what are you doing to this?
But yeah, that's the last suspect. So we still don't know what's happened. Mm. There's loads of, like, massive advancements in like DNA technology and stuff like that, and they have all of the evidence. They're just not testing it. They could easily find who did it now.
No, what you think, well, here's actually the thing, Danny, and I'm sorry to bring this up in every episode, but I have a biochemistry degree. And I'll keep this brief because I just heard half our listeners turn off. But there is a thing in biochemistry, and you're taught it, and it's called the prosecutor's fallacy. And it's got to do with, like, when it comes to DNA testing and stuff, like, they can't test the entire DNA of a person. What they do is they look for these different markers that, like, some people have and some people haven't, and they pass down through genetics or whatever. And right. They can only test for those specific markers. So it can sound very damning, like if a strand of DNA is found at a crime scene and they have these particular markers, and then they test me, right? I also have the same markers, okay? And those markers are only found in 0.01% of the human race, okay? That sounds pretty damning, okay? But what that actually doesn't take into consideration is that 0.01% of the human race is about 60 million people. Yeah. So actually 60 million people that DNA can match with. So it doesn't actually tie you to a crime scene. And it could be a situation that just, you know, the markers that they were testing for in that particular case, and then they tested someone else's markers, that, oh no, it's not a match. So that's what DNA is often used. That's why it's a DNA you'll often hear, like in TV shows, they say it's inadmissible in court, as in it can't be used as a reason to condemn someone, because it can't, because it doesn't actually link that person to the crime scene. It links someone with those markers to it, but like countless people all over the world have those markers. And so it tends to be used to exonerate people, in that they'll like test for markers and they'll test, you know, a suspect. And if the suspect doesn't have the same ones, then they'll typically go, oh, okay, well then it couldn't have been him. But really, it still could have been. It depends on what markers they were testing for. They may have not had the markers that they looked at that particular time, but they may have different ones that match. Do you know? Like, it's actually really, really complicated. Like DNA evidence and CSI didn't help matters by, you know, really thrown it out there that everyone thinks, oh, DNA evidence. It's completely inadmissible in court, and it's called the prosecutor's fallacy. It sounds great, but actually, like, it's far more complex, and it doesn't stand up at all. Like, it doesn't mean someone's guilty just because, quote unquote, your DNA was found. Like, they will never say that, because your DNA wasn't found. So a strand of DNA with some of the same.
Yeah, they always say like your DNA matches.
Yeah, but like
they
say that in TV, but that like that actually isn't the case at all, and no like forensic detective in real life would ever say that, because that probably isn't the case, because they can't tell for, you know, an exact match or whatever. It's like someone in 60 million people, like, you know, we've narrowed it down to 60 million people, you know. So yeah, sorry, Grant. I just thought maybe our listeners found that interesting, actually.
I'm sure they did. I did. Right.
Oh, so, I have a biochemistry degree.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. So we are going to leave it there for you guys. If you have any theories about JonBenet, or who do you think is the most likely suspect, get at us. We are at Scream Queens Podcasting on Instagram. The only other thing we use, if you want to get us on email, we're at screamqueenspodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm just really impressed that we got an hour and a half. So I'm like,
I know, especially when you sent on that fucking 5-page document of notes.
I couldn't sleep.
No, that's actually why, like, I didn't read them, because I was like, yeah, I think I'll read through them. And because normally I don't read the notes that you write. You know, like normally it is just first reaction. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll read them this week. And when I saw 5 pages, I was like, no. I was like, no.
Yeah, like, nothing.
I have to go with my reactions. What I want to know, though, Danny, and it's not explored at all in your extensive research this evening, is why did her mother nickname her the Black Dahlia? Or the Pink Dahlia?
Black. She didn't.
So that was a lie.
That was a lie, because I had to put some form of Dahlia in here.
Why did you have to do that, Danny?
Because I said that we were going to do the Black Dahlia, and then I didn't do the Black Dahlia.
And how could you have avoided that embarrassment and attempted gaslighting of our listeners? If you just listened to me and not made a commitment live on air, you never learn. One day, folks, one day we are going to say we'll do something and actually do it.
Yeah. One day.
Chaotic.
Maybe not today.
Not today.
Maybe not tomorrow.
And we're not going to even attempt to name what the next episode will be because it's all up in the air. But you know you love it.
Yeah. Probably something supernatural, to be honest.
Yeah, we've been very true crimey lately.
Yeah. I want to go back to the horror.
Well, like, some would argue there's no scarier thing than true crime. Like, really, when you think about it, like, you know, my parents used to say when I was a child, they used to, when I was like, I'm afraid of, watch like a haunting movie or something.
Oh yeah, the dead can't harm you.
Yeah, you should be more afraid of the living than the dead. Like, and they would always say it.
Horrible thing to say.
I know, to a child. And they would always,
I know.
They would always say it in some like really, like the manner in which, you know, the guy like in the fucking, you know, cigarette shop at the start of the horror movie while the kids are going up camping would say it, like, you're it was like wrong and time. No, be like, she's more afraid of the living than the dead. Like, they'd always look like real intensely into my
eyes.
Yeah, it's just so dramatic. They also used to have one that was like, I'll need to Google this, and they didn't make it up, but it was something about what, like, actually it makes them sound like a Native American proverb. Is that my fucking parents from a fucking Rathgool? Like, I don't think so. No, but they used to have this one that was like, nothing walks faster than a white man past a black graveyard at night or something. And it was like, what? Yeah, and it was obviously something got to do with like how like white people are inherently, they know of like the injustice that white people have done to black people, and so like they're afraid of like graveyards where black people are buried in case the black ghosts are angry at them because they're white or something. But like, that was a really weird thing for them to tell me as a child.
In Ireland, like,
I know, like, we didn't have our first black person till like 1979. It was Phil Lynott. Like,
yeah, like, exactly. Like, we didn't get them down in Wexford until like 97.
No, like, literally, like, Phil Lynott was born, and like, people in Ireland were like, what is it? Like, yeah, I know. So it's very odd that my parents were like saying these weird proverbs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I'll have to Google it or I'll have to ask them. But I just know because of how my parents are. If I go, what was that proverb that you used to say? And I'll say it, and they'd be like, Connor, you dreamt about that. Like, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
My parents are always gaslighting me. They're like, that didn't happen. And I'm like, it is a beloved childhood memory. or a traumatic one. Like, no, that didn't happen. I was like, and on that note,
goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall.
What am I supposed to be scared of?